You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So, Kevin, you've previously done a bit of research on microplastic pollution in freshwater systems in Auckland. Could you just discuss a little bit those and what are the implications of those pieces of research?
Sure. So my postgrad students and I in my lab at University of Auckland have been doing a fair bit of work looking at plastic pollution in streams in the Auckland area. And so we focus on everything from large plastic litter down to microplastics that are, you know, maybe half a millimeter or a tenth of a millimeter in size. We've done a lot of work trying to figure out how much plastic is in our streams. And so we look at lots of streams around, small streams around Auckland, and we find all sorts of different types of plastics in lots of different types of streams. We've looked a lot at streams that range from those out in the Waitakeries, which are out in native bush, to streams that are in the center of the city. So we look at urbanization gradients. We find plastic in all of them, and we find levels of plastic pollution that are equivalent to what you would see overseas. And so what we have here in New Zealand is not at all different from what people are seeing in other places. And so fundamentally what we're really interested in is understanding how much plastic is out there. We've done a lot of work looking at how it moves through streams so we can figure out how much runs out to the ocean. And we have colleagues that are modeling how plastic is moving out in estuary systems as well.
Do you find in your work that there's any difference in terms of streams? Say, like last week, one factor which they had found in the research from Flinders University was that areas in intertidal waters that were closer to human populations tended to have higher proportions of microplastics.
Yeah, sure. So we've looked at that exact same question in the context of streams around Auckland. So again, those ranging from places with very few people around out in native bush to those in the city. And roughly, we tend to see more plastic in more urbanized areas, but there's actually not a super strong relationship, which was really interesting. So when we look at it at sort of the big scale, how much urbanization is going on around a stream, it only tells us a little bit about how much plastic is there. And so it's a bit hard to try to figure out exactly where the plastic is coming from. We also have historical legacy of plastic. So there are, for example, a lot of historical landfills around Auckland. Many of them are near streams. And so when these erode out, you can have plastic coming into streams. And this is plastic that's been buried for, decades. This plastic was starting to be used back in the 1950s. So we actually have a pretty hard time explaining exactly why we see more plastic in some places.
Kevin, when you're talking about plastics for which it's really hard to trace the source, it is quite, I think, intuitively quite a scary concept. In terms of the effects of this type of pollution, what concerns you the most?
Sure. Well, I think, to be honest, when it comes to plastic, there's sort of a good news, bad news story. The bad news is that we find plastic in most systems that we look in. In some cases, we find reasonable amounts of it. It's not likely to be easy to remove or disappear. It doesn't biodegrade. And so that's the bad side of it. The good news side of it is that plastic, compared to lots of other contaminants, is not overly toxic or problematic. And so there's been a fair bit of research that has shown that plastic can be a problem, but it's usually at really high levels of plastic. And so in most cases, we're not to that level yet. So that's part of the good news is that, we're still, even though we have a fair bit of plastic out there, we're not at levels that are super problematic. And so it gives us a chance to sort of, if we can reduce the amount of plastic we use, try to ensure that we're not putting more in the environment, we can avoid those problems that are likely to rise if we let it continue to accumulate. So good news, bad news story, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, is there a critical point that you see at which, there might be harm from these plastics?
Yeah, so we do quite a bit of work on that. So we do experiments where we apply different amounts of plastic and different types of plastic in experiments to measure sort of responses of organisms to it. And so we try to define levels of plastic that are potentially problematic. And again, most of those so far are levels that would be pretty high. We can see those levels in some places, but they're not broadly common. But it's also complicated by the fact that there are lots of different types of plastics. There are lots of different sizes and shapes of plastics. And then there are also lots of different chemicals that are added to plastics and used in their production that can potentially be a problem. And so that's an area of active research that we have going on, is trying to figure out, well, which plastics are problematic and in which context are they a really big problem.
What do you think is the most important thing that we, you know, as Aucklanders can do to reduce the amount of microplastic and, I suppose, other contaminant pollutions in our waters, particularly our freshwater systems?
Sure. I think there's a lot of low-hanging fruit. There's a lot of plastic that we use and dispose of that we can find alternatives for. So a lot of the packaging that we use, trying to use less of that plastic, trying to make sure that when we dispose of it, it goes to places that it doesn't directly get out into our waterways. And so I think there are a lot of opportunities to reduce the plastic we use. And again, even though we may not be at levels of plastic now that are severely problematic, we don't want to get to that point. And so just even basic choices by people in terms of minimizing the plastic they use in their everyday life can probably make a pretty big difference.
Right. And you mentioned, not sending plastic to places where it can get into waters. Do you mean don't send it to landfill?
Actually, probably we do want to send it to landfill. So we see a lot of, we've done large litter surveys through a lot of Auckland streams, and we see lots of large pieces of plastic and other types of debris that end up in our waterways that are either disposed of near them, they wash off through stormwater runoff. So these are pieces of plastic and litter that are not going into bins and then being properly landfilled or properly recycled. And so the first step is just making sure that we actually get everything in the bin, whether it's recycling or landfill, and we get it to somewhere that we can properly manage it. And then again, of course, the best thing to do is to minimize the amount of plastic we use, because it's so durable that it's going to be out there for a long time in the environment. So if we can switch to things like paper products, for example, that will naturally biodegrade, and fibers that naturally biodegrade, we're far better off in the long run.
Do you have fears, or has your research found that this microplastic pollution is having any negative effects on freshwater species?
I think at the moment there's probably pretty minimal evidence that it does, although there haven't been a lot of studies and a lot of research that has looked at the effects of plastic in realistic sort of ways and has looked at a diverse array of organisms. So I think we're still pretty early days for that. But again, a lot of the work that has been done suggests that we're probably not to the point where we have to get really, really scared about what's going on, but we don't ever want to get there. And so it's really, again, I think that's part of the good news story, is that we have a chance to make a difference, but we're going to have to start doing it as soon as possible.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.